is RX Talk with Susie, the first and only pharmacy-specific podcast for women, about women, hosted by women. As recently as the 1960s, women made up only 8% of all U.S. pharmacists. Today, that number has increased to over 55% of the women pharmacist workforce and 85% of the pharmacy technician workforce. With two-thirds of USD PharmaD graduates being female, these numbers are going up. Welcome to RX Talk with Susie. Your host is a pharmacist professional and educator, wife, mother, and the founder of Pharmacist Moms Group. RX Talk with Susie is part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Now, let's talk.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. This is Susie. And today I am super excited to have Dr. Tori Rarick on our show today. I was really happy when she contacted me and reached out to me when I found out a little bit more about what she does, because she is all about work-life balance and making sure that we know, you know, when we're feeling overwhelmed or we're unsure. She's really a person that I think a lot of us need to go to and go to her site. She's a pharmacist by training, and she is now a mastermind consultant. So I think, Tori, I'm going to turn it over to you to have you kind of introduce yourself to all the listeners today.
Sure. Hi, Susie. Thank you for having me. So I'm Tori Rarick, PharmD, but I'm also a mindset coach. I left the pharmacy in just September to take my business full-time. I'm so excited about teaching pharmacists, especially women, mothers, how to manage their stress and anxiety with mindfulness. So I now call myself the pharmacist for pharmacists, because I really just transferred the same set of service skills, you know, providing resources, being supportive, helping people on their healing journey. And now the medicine I dispense is mindfulness. So I love working with women and just helping them see their worth and living a balanced life.
Amazing. No, this is so amazing, because I've recently gotten into all this mindfulness as well. And it's just, I don't believe in coincidence. Like when you reached out to me, it was right at the time when I was really just experiencing being able to meditate. So I started off and it was like, I couldn't even do 30 seconds. And now, you know, I've been building up to a lot longer and, you know, able to do more than 10 minutes. So I'm super excited. So for those of us though, that are listening that haven't heard of mindfulness, why don't you just tell everyone a little bit more about what is mindfulness?
Yes. So I like what you said, that you couldn't really do it at first, but you kept with it, because it really is this practice I'm realizing the more that I do it. And to take you back just a little bit, in pharmacy school, I really did struggle with my anxiety. I was on antidepressants. I trust the medicine that we dispense, and that was kind of the quicker fix for me. But as I went on with my career, I wanted to conceive and do things the most natural way. And I worked with therapy. And so it was time to let go of the medication, at least for me. And so I had to start practicing something. And that was retraining my brain to think happier, to not sit in this negative space so often, and to really clear my mind. So mindfulness begins with self-awareness, because when you can tune into yourself, you really recognize your needs and can provide for yourself ahead of time, instead of letting yourself get burnt out and having to recover. That's so much bigger of a process. So mindfulness is this awareness and this practice.
No, that makes sense. And I think a lot of pharmacists actually struggle with anxiety. So you're not alone. I want to say that have heard at different talks regarding anxiety for pharmacists, and many of them struggle, and many of us, including myself, I personally have struggled with anxiety exactly the same throughout pharmacy school and things like that. We have struggled, and I think you know, it's a great place to come to when you go to the mindfulness. How did you get started on all of this? How did you know that this was speaking to you, or how did you know?
So again, it was really my own need and my own journey that brought this to life. And I thought, if I'm struggling, women that are too. So it was my hobby to feel better and really take responsibility and see how I could feel better all the time. I was starting to see progress with my anxiety. I have the most supportive husband, and I'm so grateful, but I really recognized I was relying on him to help me emotionally. Like, I really couldn't regulate myself, and that was the time where I said, I've got to work on this. So that's exactly what I did. I started documenting my process and writing what made me feel better, what didn't, and just journaling alone is so therapeutic. So that's still something I do today. But of course, all my notes, I kind of put that together into different workshops, and then that evolved into a course, and et cetera, et cetera. So in my last position as a pharmacist, I had the amazing opportunity to start building a clinical practice, which was something just totally dreamlike. I didn't do a residency, and so to do this in the community setting was huge. And I realized when I was working with diabetic patients and doing motivational interviewing that I could do this with mindfulness. I was doing the thing that I wanted to do, just in a different medium and different setting. So that really encouraged me to know that I could bring some of my pharmacy skills to this new career.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. So you were working as a clinical pharmacist, I guess, prior. And then how did you go from working as a pharmacist to doing this, you know, full time and leaving your job? Because so many people want to do that. So many people listening are like,
totally,
you know, I want to try something new, but, how did you know that this is, you know, this was going to be,
it's so individual to navigate. So like when I work with women, if they're not fully fulfilled in their jobs, I don't immediately tell them to leave or anything like that. It's so individual. And like for me personally, I was willing to take the pay cut and kind of work with that rather than sacrifice my joy. So that's something to consider and your support system and all of that. But it started out as I was still working pharmacy and doing this on the side, doing the mindset coaching on the side. So feeling comfortable just getting clients and working with them and building this. And there just came a time where it was like, now or never. You kind of feel it. You know, when you're ready to grow, it gets a little bit uncomfortable and there's just no going back really. So there came the time where I was building the clinical practice at the other pharmacy and building my business at the same time. And I could totally feel, I don't want to say negative emotions, but just not as much enthusiasm for pharmacy as I once had versus my own company. And I just felt it wasn't quite fair. And I did want to dedicate all of my energy. I wanted to be all in on this. And so that was just a key for me to say, okay, I'm going to step into this fully. But I know there are so many women too that are able to kind of work both sides of that. For me, I was ready to be all in, and I just felt it in my bones that I had to let it go, and it was a good time. But it's not so cut and dry.
No, that totally makes sense. So what are some things that you're working on right now?
Yes. So I'm on this self-love revolution. Everything I teach has the foundation of self-care, self-love, because that's where it started for me as a pharmacist when I was so burnt out at the end of the day and got in this pattern of complaining and feeling exhausted. And, you know, just you kind of get stuck in a rut sometimes. The only thing that could bring me to some relief was spending time with myself, allowing myself to feel the feelings and caring for myself. So no matter what situation anyone is in, things might seem very rigid, but what you have control over is how you feel and how you treat yourself and all of that. So self-love all the way. I have a free workshop on that, free workbook that I love to talk about because I think that's so important to start taking care of ourselves.
I agree. And it starts with yourself. It's almost like, cause I think as moms and you have a young son and, so you can relate to this as well, but I think a lot of times I feel guilty. So, you know, the self-love or self-care or taking care of myself, it's like, you know, I'm at work all day. My kids are at school or previously in daycare or with the babysitter or, you know, with an au pair. I mean, they're just with someone else. And I just feel this tremendous amount of guilt. And so when I'm home, I don't want to go do something for myself. I'd rather just go spend the time with my children. And so I think that's something that a lot of women face. I don't know if you've personally faced that as well, but
yes,
you know, and so I totally agree with that self-love part of it.
Yeah. And that's something I like to address, especially for moms, the guilt. It's really changing their perspective on cost versus benefit, really. What are you giving up? your energy, your time, your well-being. So if you could put a little energy towards yourself, the return on that is so much greater typically. And I'd like to talk in detail, of course, in my workbook and everything about what the different forms of self-care are. It doesn't have to be a massage 2 hours away from your kids. Self-care could really be dropping down and playing with them. So just reconsidering what that is and having some go-to tools is important, I think.
I totally agree. So I actually go to, I do a lot of this, and I don't know if you're familiar with the book, The Universe Has Your Back by...
Yeah, totally.
Okay. So that is my book. And if you haven't read it and you are listening to the show, you need to read this book. If you don't have time, there's the audiobook. I actually have listened to it. And I think I've read this book now 10 times, and I probably can read it thousands of times because it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, that how you can just change your feeling right at that moment. So, and I love your example of getting down and playing with your kids. So rather, you know, that could be self-care or just touching the earth, you know, just kind of sitting down and calming yourself, even if it's just for a minute, can just change your whole perspective on everything. So one of the things, this is Women's Month, you know, and you are a woman pharmacist, and so happy Women's Month. I wanted to, you know, talk to you about that a little bit. And as we can see, you know, the numbers really speak for themselves. Pharmacists have graduated, women pharmacists have graduated as the majority of pharmacists for the past 4 decades. So basically for over 40 years now, women have been the majority of pharmacists. But what's been interesting is that a lot of women are not you know, leaders in pharmacy. So retail chain pharmacies, 0% have women as their CEO, and only a quarter of U.S. pharmacy deans are women. So it's very different. And I think for a lot of women, I can speak for myself, we struggle with this work-life balance with, you know, advancing our careers and where do we go? And I recently read an article that was talking about women, you know, who in pharmacy, so compared to men, and 6% of males start out pharmacy school. When they graduate, they start out as part-time workers, and 5% of women. And mid-career, around the mid-40s, 9% of males are working part-time, but 36% of women are working part-time pharmacy. So there's a lot of women out there who are working part-time, and we're really managing both our careers and our, you know, our whether it's our children or other things we have at home. So how do you fit mindfulness, or how do you fit this in? Because people always struggle, and I've heard it and I've said it myself. I don't have the time. And even though I'm working part-time, my other, you know, part of my days are I'm spending them with my children, and, right, you know, I have a million things to do. I'm running errands and I'm cleaning and I'm cooking. So how do you, you know, do it all? Is there a such thing? You know, how does that exist? And what advice would you have, you know, for all of these women out there?
Yeah. So many good points in that question. I totally had something written down where we have the numbers game beat as far as women in pharmacy. It's just time for us to really infuse our values into the industry. And I think that's where we're kind of getting snagged. And so I know it sounds so woo-woo, but mindfulness and self-love is at the middle of this. If we can't tune into ourselves and understand ourselves, we won't be able to make as big of an impact as we want to. And so for women, I think it's really great that we can be this flexible and manage all of this and do part-time. I did the part-time thing too. And for one thing, maybe us being leaders is not right now. I think that's an important thing to remember, is like, we don't have to out the gate, have the CEO position and then retire or whatever that trajectory looks like. We could, for me especially, I'm like, it was really scary to leave pharmacy in such a way, but I'm really hoping as I gain these skills with mindfulness and being in the cannabis industry now, I can tie everything together and really go get it with a different perspective. So I think it's important for us to remember, like, to say not right now if it's not the right time, but always have our goals at the forefront of our minds. And then in terms of work-life balance, truly, I feel no. I think there is such a thing, but I don't think it's as traditional and easy as women think. When I work with women, I really have them look at what they're spending their time and energy on, because yes, there is such thing as a balance, but probably not doing all the things that you're actually doing. I find we overcommit ourselves in ways that aren't helpful to us. And we kind of pick up that habit from school. We're trying to do all the things to get the interview and get the residency, and we get in this habit of not taking care of ourselves and overextending ourselves. So when we pare it down and we get really clear on what it is that we want and what our values are and what's important to us, I think we can have it all. But we can't have it all when we are just spending our energy on things that aren't important to us.
Agree. I completely agree. And it's really about finding out what, you know, what is important to you, and what do you really value, and what, you know, how do you want to see it? And for me, I've always been passionate about women in pharmacy, and since I was a pharmacy student, so this was just kind of my passion and where I felt that we could make a difference. And you're right, it's I think that there's studies that show that female physicians actually spend more time with their patients compared to their male counterparts. And I'm sure that if they did a comparable study with women pharmacists, that we are making a difference. And if we just bring a lot of our skill set to our patients, to our profession, what a difference that will really make. So I really am enjoying having you on my show. Do you have any tips that you want to share with everyone now, or do you have anything that you'd like to share with our listeners about, things that have helped you along the way, or things that, tips you can share?
I think pulling out the journal is easy to do if you want something really tangible. I have all different walks of life that are interested in this. Some like really woo-woo things, and some like very practical. So I like to mix everything together. And in terms of self-care, do what's good for you. That doesn't have to look like what everyone else likes to do. That's honestly just for you. So just try to drop into yourself and see what makes you happy. I like to recommend that they think back to their childhood, and not like, oh, you played volleyball, so play volleyball. But like, what did you, were you an art kid? Did you just love to do that in first grade? Maybe pull out the watercolors. I did that for a while. And just be flexible with your time for yourself. I at first couldn't get around the idea of a hobby and of doing nothing, essentially not having some result after doing an activity. So I would set a timer for my free time, which sounds just like so rigid, but as a type A person, that worked for me to say, I can just be who I want to be for 30 minutes. I don't have to worry about anything. So set a timer, try to journal, pick something for you. And I think the more time you spend with yourself, the more in tune you become with what your needs are. It's a snowball effect, really.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the journaling for me was actually very helpful. So at first I didn't even know how to journal. So a lot of these things, it's like you have to kind of teach yourself. And so the journaling for me was very helpful. But for those of us who are listening that haven't even heard the term journaling, what is journaling?
So this can be anything to you. And same situation, Susie. I thought the journaling was a diary you kept every day. You wrote sort of the same manual. And I would get so upset with myself if I missed a day, and I would give it up for however many weeks.
Right, right.
Rigid. I can't fathom missing a day.
Yes, exactly.
So yeah. I got really loose with it. I had like a planner that didn't matter much to me. And I just wrote bullet points of how I felt every day. I kind of wanted to track how I was feeling and if it lined up with the moon cycles. So I wrote like, you know, happy today towards the full moon, whatever. And from there I started writing more things like, oh, this happened. And so it was more of a documentation. But I also am now learning to just pull out my journal when I'm feeling nervous or feel fearful about something. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a structure. I don't have a time limit. I just get it out on paper. I don't care if it looks nice. It's just pen to paper. It's therapy. How can I get out this idea, this fear, put it out there and realize that it's not as big of a deal as it is in my head?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Because once you put it on paper, all of a sudden, it's not as big of a deal. Or once you kind of put it out there, I've been in a similar situation where things are, you know, blowing up in my head. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm feeling this way. And then all of a sudden I write it down. I'm like, you know what, that's really not as big of, you know, what I've been thinking. So, and Gabby Bernstein actually has a quote. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but I'm a big fan of hers if you haven't realized, but worry is a prayer to chaos. And, you know, so when you're worried all the time, it's just making everything kind of spiral out of control. So,
totally.
So I love remembering that. The last thing I wanted to ask you was, you know, what's some advice that you would tell your younger self, and maybe for other pharmacists just starting their career? You know, what is some advice that you would give?
I would say keep an open mind. I remember being told that advice and really taking it during my rotations, because you're trying so many different things. But then once I got into my pharmacy career, I really just locked that in for life. And that's where things started going downhill for me, because I was feeling so stuck. So I, you know, look at me, I practiced pharmacy for 2 years and I'm doing this mindset thing, and maybe someday I'll combine everything together. So I think just keeping an open mind is important, because you don't know where life will take you. And it's much more fun and easeful if you can kind of go with it and just trust that you'll be taken care of. Of course, there are plans and practicalities, but keeping an open mind allows those opportunities to come to you that you could never even dream of.
Agree. I totally agree. Exactly. If you had asked me years ago what I wanted to do, I thought I was going to be working for a chain pharmacy my whole career. And I actually never did that. I didn't even do that option. So, but when I started pharmacy school, that's what I thought I had signed up for. So it's amazing how we end up transforming and things just end up working out. It's amazing. So for, everyone listening, if you haven't, seen Tori's blog yet, it's tidytour.com. You should definitely check it out. There are some resources on there. We're actually talking about other collaborations that we might do between her and the Pharmacist Moms group. So you will be hearing from her more, seeing her more. I'm very excited to have you on the show. So thanks again, Tori.
Thank you. This was so fun. I can't wait to see what we do in the future.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to RX Talk with Susie. Please share this podcast on all your social media outlets and help us reach other women in pharmacy. Be sure to check out our website. Go to pharmacistmomsgroup.com.